Amen. Till the work on earth is done. And as one famous person said, it's not over till it's over. And the work is not over. That thought is a very biblical principle, of course, and it really ties in to our message for this Sunday morning. But first, the scripture for today, which comes to us out of the last book of the Bible, which, of course, as you know, is the book of Revelation. And we turn, first of all, this morning in the Bible to Revelation chapter 3. This is the word of the Lord. And to the angel of the church in Sardis write, "These things says he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works, that you have a name that you are alive, but you are dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain, that are ready to die. For I have not found your works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard, hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. You have a few names, even in Sardis, who have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments. I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Thus far, the reading of our scripture lesson for today. There are occasions when I have chosen a particular theme for a message, and sometimes even begun work on a specific message or series of messages. And then somehow, some way, in the midst of it all, the Lord comes along and nudges me, "That's not it. That is not what I want to say to my people at this time." This past week is one of those occasions. I had a message that I had been thinking about and praying over in a little study in advance for several weeks, and was thinking about getting very close to the end of our church year. And by the way, next Sunday morning is the final Sunday of the church year. And I thought I had a direction that this Sunday morning we would go. But then I came, as each week I tried to be here, for the Wednesday prayer circle. And it became very, very clear during the Wednesday prayer circle, though there were very few of us in that Wednesday morning gathering, that the Lord had a word for us. It started with a testimony by Carol Gallup, who had a what I call a dream vision, because it comes to her in the form of a dream, but it has a message from the Lord that is very much like a vision. And this dream vision showed her the presence of a door that was shut, a door that was locked, and a door through which her family could not enter. And though they banged on the door and did everything they could to get through the door, the door was closed. That brought about then a kind of an eruption of scriptures and conversation about the door, the doorway. And the longer that we prayed and shared together, the more I knew the Lord was saying to me that this word was a word for the whole congregation, not just the four of us who were here on Wednesday morning. So that's how we got to where we are on this Sunday morning. And so the theme for this Sunday, I have entitled it, The Kingdom of God and the Message of the Open Door. Now, first of all, we want to be very, very clear that Jesus spoke about the door. In fact, when I looked up in our Strong's Concordance, all the scriptures that there are about the door or the doorway, I had no idea that there were this many scriptures on this one particular theme. But I would like to take you to the Gospel of St. John, chapter 10. The Gospel of St. John, chapter 10. And it says, beginning with verse 8, St. John, chapter 10, verse 8, all whoever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. Then Jesus declares this principle, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Now here is a major, major declaration of the Lord Jesus. We know from Scripture and all the years that we've been together in pursuing biblical teaching that the covenant name for Almighty God is the name he gave to Moses, I am that I am. And quite often, the I am will be qualified by a specific principle. I am the Good Shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. And there are hundreds of completions to the name of the I am, because what it declares is the Lord God is whomever he chooses to be and whoever we need him to be at any specific time. So the Lord says, I am the Lord who heals you. But it is prefaced by his covenant name, I am. So wherever an I am appears in Scripture, that is identifying the person of Almighty God. And here in John 10, the Lord Jesus, using the covenant name, I am, qualifies that name by saying, I am the door. And so we might ask the question, what's the purpose of a door or a doorway? Well, a door is a place of entrance. It is a place that defines room spaces and various areas. It is a situation, it is a thing that defines boundaries. When the door is shut, that means you don't go in. You knock on the door, or maybe you have a key that permits you to enter. But a shut door sends a message. And as I just watched all the events of this week, well, I didn't watch them, I listened to some of them, but thought about them a lot, I realized that there are a lot of closed doors in our lives. There are a lot of areas that we might wish to enter, or there might be events or activities or outcomes that we desire. But as Carol discovered in the dream vision on Wednesday, there are doors that are shut and you cannot enter. Shut doors. Have you ever heard the phrase, I had a door slammed in my face? So there is within our contemporary language various ways of referring to closed doors, shut doors, a door slammed in our face. Now, I'd like to take you to a second principle, and that is in Acts chapter 14. And so if you have your sword with you and you wish to follow along, I want to take you to Acts chapter 14. And there in Acts chapter 14, we find verse 27. Now when they had come and gathered the church together, they reported all that God had done with them. All that the Lord God had done. And that he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. So they stayed there a long time with the disciples. Now a companion scripture to this is 1 Corinthians chapter 16, and that's in most Bibles, just a very few pages over, passing through Romans and getting to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. And there we find in chapter 16, verse 9. Well, let's start with verse 8. I will tarry, that means stay, that's an old English word, I will stay in Ephesus until Pentecost. The New Testament fathers, mothers, and people, they celebrated the festivals of the work of God, Pentecost being one of them. So he said, I'm going to stay in Ephesus until the festival of Pentecost. And then he goes on to say in verse 9, for a great and effective door has opened to me, but there are many adversaries. Now, if that doesn't, those two scriptures put into place for us powerful principles of understanding how ministry functions, how the church under the lordship of Jesus functions. The first part of this principle that I would declare to you today is this, based on the writing here of St. Paul. No door for ministry is ever going to be opened unless the Holy Spirit opens that door. Just as Carol Gallup's family could not pass through a shut, locked door, neither can even well-meaning Christians effectually, there's the key, effectually enter into a mission field or a work for Jesus unless the Holy Spirit opens the door. Now, as one who has had a bruised nose for many decades, trying to knock down doors that were closed, because I did not know this principle. No one ever taught me this principle until the Holy Spirit finally, after virtually a broken nose, revealed to me, if you keep banging on doors that are closed, you're not going to accomplish anything significant for the kingdom of God. And you say, well, wait a minute, there are activities that are going on that maybe aren't so successful as we would like, but there are, yes, of course. Because religion can do all kinds of religious things, making it appear this is perhaps the will or the work of God. But the two are not the same. When Father God opens a door by the Holy Spirit. He has prepared a vineyard, a field, an opportunity for ministry, and is calling the faithful to walk through that open door and accomplish the ministry for which he has prepared the way. I don't know that I ever heard that worship song before today, but it certainly fits this message. And it was the waymaker. We are not the waymakers. In fact, I think sometimes we get in the way of what the Father himself desires to do. The Holy Spirit is the waymaker. And when we walk in the paths that the Holy Spirit has prepared, the outcome is going to be vastly different than when we just seek as spiritual, well, forget that, religious lone rangers to do our own thing. The second part of this principle of the Holy Spirit opening the door is that when the Holy Spirit opens the door, there is an effective, that's the word that is used here, an effective outcome. That means the work worked. That means the mission was successful. The plans of the Lord were put in place. And it's interesting how in that same phrase, that same part of that sentence, Paul revealed part B of the principle. When the Lord opens the door, the way is made for effectual ministry. However, we can be sure that it's the Lord who opens the door because of the last part of verse 9. An effective door has opened to me, and there are many adversaries. Satan spends no time when we are banging our heads against opportunities that the Lord has not prepared, nor which he has called us to serve. But when the door is opened and the people of faith move through, we can be guaranteed on the other side there will be adversaries who seek to stop the work that the Father is seeking to accomplish. Of course, we know ultimately the adversary will not be successful. But I'm amazed that how surprised some Christian people are when they run into these headwinds, when they run into these obstacles. We thought we had this. We thought we were on the way. We were certain. Ah, no, you didn't take into account that there's a battle. We call it spiritual warfare that is being waged. And Satan does not surrender easily. Now, I want to take you to the third principle of the open door. By the way, I wrote down here, which I didn't see, not only does the Holy Spirit open the door to create the opportunity, but I wrote down here, the Holy Spirit also opens the door at the right time and at the right place. At the right, you know, I just now think, thank you, Father. Thank you. The Lord just reminded me. There were many times when the Apostle Paul, whom I think we would all agree, was a very Spirit-led apostle and servant of Jesus. And he wanted to go to a certain city or a certain area. And Paul would write, but the Holy Spirit prevented me from going. The Holy Spirit prevented me from going. Why? Because it wasn't the right place, or perhaps it wasn't the right time. And so just because we don't see our way through clearly and victoriously at a specific time, maybe it's not the right time. Maybe we're not in exactly the right place. That is why dependence upon the Holy Spirit by the leadership and family of God in the church is so crucial. Now, I want to get to this third principle. Third principle is in Revelation chapter 3, we're going back there and pick up a scripture that we didn't read earlier. Revelation chapter 3. We'll start with verse 7. 3:7. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia. That's interesting. Philadelphia. Write. These things says he who is holy and he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. Now that's a carryover from the previous principle, the right time, the right place, the Holy Spirit leading the charge. The Holy Spirit, according to the promise of this, in your Bible, I don't know what color these words are, but in the Bible I have in front of me at the moment, these words are in red, which means they are the words of Jesus. And someone said, well, Jesus is in heaven, isn't he? Yes. But Jesus can speak from heaven. He speak from wherever. And these are the words of Jesus. Therefore, they are in red. And he says, he who opens and no one shuts and no one opens. Now, there's an authority about that verse that we need to be very, very respectful for. It is the Lord who opens doors, and it is the Lord who shuts doors. And I don't know how many times over the years in counseling with people as a pastor, and they've come in and spoken about their situation, it is very clear that they are trying to enter into what Father God has shut. Many times it was either a relationship, which clearly Father God had closed the door upon, or it could have been a job change or potential, or it could have been a financial situation or a host of other things. But it's imperative, especially as parents and grandparents, that we impart to our young ones. There are barriers that are posted and erected by the Holy Spirit that open doors and close doors, and that's for our protection, and it's for our victory. Because if we're going to be successful in a marriage, in a congregation, in a job, it's important that we seek the Holy Spirit where he has opened the door. Because for whatever purpose, the Holy Spirit has opened a door in your life or in the church's life or a family's life. It is a promise of Almighty God that he will not only open the door, but he will supply the anointing and the gifts and the talents and all that's necessary to accomplish the purpose for which you are there. But I seldom, ever hear a minister or read a book or hear a sermon that really declares unequivocally this principle. Because we're so bent, we're so driven by the ungodly philosophy of our culture today, which says, I have a right to say anything, do anything, go anyplace, be anything that I want to be. Well, okay, but what you don't have is you don't have the authority to change the outcomes of Almighty God. Now, the next verse in this chapter is very, very important. Verse 8, I know your works. You see, Father God knows. He knows what's going on. You know, we don't have to spend long hours in prayer talking to the Lord, telling him what's going on. He not only knows what's going on, he knows more about what's going on than we know about what's going on. we don't really need to explain to Father God. He said, I know your works, but look at the promise. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. You have little strength. You have kept my word and have not denied my name. Wow. So, what is the principle here? What's the challenge? The challenge is to hear the Lord saying to you and to me today, and to this congregation, I believe to our nation, I have set before you an open door. Not all doors are open. Not all doors are shut. But the Lord says, I have set before you an open door. And he's calling us to recognize this fact and to walk through the doors that are open. Now, Father God did not write this verse for Jesus' Lord Church alone. But I couldn't help just being amazed at when he says, I have set before you an open door. The next thing he says, I know you have little strength. Boy, there's a word for this congregation. Because I hear people in this church say all the time, we don't have hardly any strength. We don't have enough people. We can easily focus on what we do not have or cannot accomplish. And that's all backward. Father says, I have set before you, I will put in there parenthetically the word each of you, an open door. It's up to each of us to discover what door is open, what is the purpose of the open door, and to trust that the Lord will give you and he will give me the strength walking through the door to accomplish what it is that is his purpose for putting us in front of the open door. And it will be the Lord who deals with the consequences, the adversaries, the challenges, and the outcome. Now, one final scripture, and I might not have brought you this word today, but somebody on Wednesday morning when we were discussing the door said, don't forget Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Amazing. Oh, the Holy Spirit might have told me later in the week, but I got the word on Wednesday. So here you go. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Who's speaking? Jesus. Red ink. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Which door is that, by the way? The door to my heart, to your heart. I stand at the door and knock. Now, number one, if anyone hears my voice, well, to hear the voice of Jesus, you can't have so much cacophony going on and noise that you can't, because I don't think Jesus yells. I don't think Jesus yells. In fact, the Bible tells us that the Lord God speaks in a rather soft, gentle voice. So you have to have the volume down so that you can hear. But there's part two to that. You also have to believe, which much of the Christian community does not believe, that Jesus speaks to people today. If you don't believe that the Lord Jesus speaks to people today, you will never recognize the voice of Jesus knocking on the door. And you will believe that it's something else or a distraction, or you may not be aware of anything at all. Very, very crucial that the Lord's people believe that as Scripture declares, Jesus stands at the door and he knocks. And it isn't singular. It isn't he knocked once. He knocks. That's present. Because there are many, many times when Jesus wants to get our attention. He wants to remove us from the noise and what's happening and perhaps the priorities, passions of our lives, to listen to what he has for us, what he wants us to do, and what he has to say to us. So he stands at the door and knocks. If anyone hears his voice, that's number one. But there's a second part to it. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He does not knock down doors, barge down through, jump through windows, or come down chimneys. He knocks on the door, waiting for whomever inside to open the door. Because the picture, the painting, always reminds us that the latch, the doorknob, is only on one side of the door. It's only on the inside, because that door, the door to your heart, to your life, can only be opened by you. So the latch or the doorknob is inside. And then Jesus has this awesome promise. I will come in to you and sup with you. The old King James says that means eat, dine, banquet with you. Isn't that interesting? This scripture comes on a day when once a year this congregation has a harvest festival, a dinner, a banquet. I pray that Jesus will be our guest, not just during the worship service or the dialogue, but also during this time of fellowship. We are at the close. And it would be impossible for me to share this final scripture with you, behold, I stand at the door and knock, if anyone opens the door, without very clearly and carefully extending to you the invitation that if you've never opened the door to your heart to invite Jesus to come inside, not you going inside the church building or you owning the Bible or making an offering, all that stuff, but that you personally open the door from the inside to your life and personally invite the Lord Jesus to come in. You know, it won't be long before the doors will be eternally shut. One of the scriptures on the Festival of Christ the King, which is next Sunday, last Sunday of the church year, is the parable of the wise and foolish virgins. And when the foolish virgins did not prepare properly for the arrival of the bridegroom, and they had to go out and spend their energy, resources, time, and whatever to purchase oil, by the time they had been decoyed and gone away, the bridegroom came. And what happened? The door was shut. Now, I know this is probably not very popular, but folks, we're at a time when I believe that before very long, Father God is going to shut the door. And there will be no more entree, no more entrance. Door will be shut. Before that time, I, as pastor of this congregation, want to be certain that every single individual within this congregation has come and asked the Lord Jesus to come into his heart and be born again. You know, there was an early vision of this, or version of this, with a fellow by the name of Noah. You ever hear of him? And the ark? Remember that? And there came a time when Noah's family and all the chosen animals came on board the ark. And then there is that scary scary verse. And the Lord shut the door of the ark. And that was it. So for all the names in this basket, whom we're not sure, have given their hearts and lives to Jesus. For any of you seated here, or anyone listening to this message by way of the recorded message or the internet, it is time to open the door and receive Christ into your heart. Let us pray. Father, we are blessed to have your word of truth, but it's a word of promise and of hope. It's a word of power. It's a word that accomplishes your purposes. Thank you for the word of God. Thank you for this congregation. Thank you for the privilege of declaring to this congregation your eternal, faithful word. Now, Father, bless the remainder of our morning, and may your presence hover with us throughout this. Now the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the fellowship of the precious Holy Spirit be with you all. And the Lord's people said, Amen. 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 Go in peace and with joy and serve the Lord.